You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, episode 34. The NHL is a week away from regular season hockey. The CHL's opening week has come and gone, and we're back to play a game of Who Would You Rather? We also break down some Fantrax average draft positions and catch up with Shane Malloy from Hockey Prospect Radio, who was in attendance for the All-American Prospects game last week. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to episode 34 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show. I am once again with my co-host Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, we're down to the last few days before the Dauber Prospects Radio Fantasy League deadline, which is September 30th. Is your team set yet?
Pretty much. I've picked my players, and I got a couple have been sent back to junior. A couple are still with their NHL team. We get two roster moves to make by, mid-October, I think?
Yeah, October 16th, I think we made the date.
Yeah, so I've got to make a decision on if all of these players are going to be coming back. Abramov just came back today, so that's good. I'm a little bit worried about Kyler Yamamoto, Victor Mete. These are guys that are looking like they might actually make the NHL.
Yeah, the other guy a little worried about is Sam Steele. Have you heard anything on his behalf?
No, not yet. I haven't looked into him, but he's also on my roster, so might have to make change before the deadline with one of these guys, but it's pretty exciting going through. It's so many players to choose from, and you've got draft eligible guys, you've got guys who are going back for their fourth year. The overagers wasn't really a factor for me. I think I only picked one, but the two import player limit became a challenge as well. A tough decision. I really wanted to take Philip Zadina, but I just couldn't justify taking him over Abramov or Svechnikov.
Yeah, I had that issue as well. There's a lot of imports in the CHL. What I'm really, I think this is the league I'm most excited about in fantasy hockey, and it's because it's uncharted territories. Yeah, we cover the CHL and we watch a lot of OHL, WHL, QMJHL games, but we've never had to pick who we believe our top 12 players overall are going to be, and kind of have the stipulation of only so many imports, only so many overagers. It's been a lot of fun to try and pick up teams, and yeah, you've been posting on Twitter guys that you think you want, and the polls come out and it's like, I didn't even think of that guy. So yeah, it's interesting to create a team like this that's never really been done before. So if you want in on it, get to patreon.com/DPR show. Join as a Patreon. It's going to be $3 a month, at least $3 a month to be in the league. And that's so we can make sure that we put in the time to set up the league and get paid for it, because we're the only ones out there that we believe. If anybody knows of any other CHL fantasy leagues, let us know, because we've been trying to find them, and that's why we came up with this, because we wanted one out there. So I think we might be the one and only, Peter.
Yeah, a lot of that patron subscription pledge goes to the maintenance of the league. There is no provider. Like, Fantrax doesn't host CHL. We thought Office Pools did, but they don't do it again this year, so we got to do it the old-fashioned way. We got to pull the stats ourselves. So, join the league, help us out, and support the podcast. You get some other perks as well with the $3 membership. It's not just entry to the league. So check it out. You get access to some of our rankings and lists. But let's get on with the show. We got a lot of ground to cover. You want to start with the ADP, or would you rather?
Let's go with would you rather, and I'm going to start it off right away with two defensemen that I believe will be playing in the NHL. I think Sergachev will play. Julius Honka from the Dallas Stars or Mikhail Sergachev from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Who would you rather, Peter?
All right, so a lot of these is going to come down to, I think, will they make the NHL or not in some cases? And in this case, I think that, so did you want to take the player that's more of a sure thing, or do you, if the other player is maybe he might not make the NHL, but he could have a higher upside if he does type of decisions. And this would you rather is one of them. I think Honka is a lock to make the Stars this year. I don't see a scenario where he's healthy and doesn't play in Dallas. I think Sergachev is likely to play in Tampa. If he doesn't play in Tampa, he won't go back to junior like we talked about last week, so he'd have to go off to Europe. And I think, that's a pretty strong card for him to play. I mean, if you're Tampa, do you want to risk losing him to the KHL and him getting all comfy cozy over there and signing a 3-year contract with a KHL team, a la Alexander Gusev? I don't think so. And does Sergachev have the roster depth making it difficult for him to crack Tampa? Not really. Hedman and Strahlman for sure. And then after that, it's pretty negotiable. So I think Honka is a lock, and I think Sergachev is a probable. So my standard rationale would be, yeah, go with Honka. He's a sure thing. But I like Sergachev more. I think he's got tremendous opportunity, and both these players have tremendous opportunity on their teams. They're both going to be offensive teams. Hitchcock going to Dallas maybe taps the brakes on that a little bit. But I'm a Sergachev kind of fan, right? And well, that's part of the fun of being in fantasy hockey. You pick the players that you like, and then you get to cheer for them while they're on your fantasy roster. So I'm going to go with Sergachev.
Nice. I'm going to go with Julius Honka. I kind of went with a now would you rather and a future would you rather. So I think years down the road we're going to look at these two, and I think Sergachev's going to be the better of the two in career. But I kind of like to play fantasy hockey with this year, maybe look into maybe a year away. If a prospect is that much further, he's got to be a stud prospect that I know is going to be unbelievably good and worth waiting for. But I like to play in the now for fantasy hockey, so I'm going to go with Julius Honka as my would you rather.
All right. That's a good choice. I kind of talked myself into that, but then still went with my heart.
And that and the, it's a it's all in how you play fantasy. You just said that you play fantasy for guys that you want to see and cheer for, and yeah, that makes sense that your heart is with Sergachev, and that's the way you're going to go. On our Twitter poll, it's still open. If you listen to this when we put it out, we put a 2-day wait on it so everybody that is listening could get in on it. So go to the Twitter polls now, Dobber Prospects Radio Twitter feed, DPR_show. Sergachev is leading 67%. So
Really?
yeah, our listeners or our followers are on the Sergachev side. So you're up on that one. Let's move on to our next one. Peter, who would you rather, Matthew Barzal from the New York Islanders or Kyle Connor from the Winnipeg Jets?
I'm gonna have to go with Matt Barzal on this one. Our last episode, we had Ryan Wegman on, and he made a compelling argument for Matt Barzal playing in the second line center position in the New York Islanders. We've already recorded our interview segment with Shane Malloy. He talks about Barzal as well, and he said some pretty similar things. So I think he's just got such a better opportunity. There's a more of a need for him, rather, on the island than Kyle Connor has in Winnipeg. Winnipeg's got a better forward roster. So there'll be competition for ice time for him, which is good for his development. It'll insulate him a little bit more than what Barzal will be. But we're not picking guys for actual hockey development here. We're picking guys who we would rather have in our fantasy roster. So for me, that's Barzal.
Yep, that last comment you made, that it's all about the fantasy. Matthew Barzal is also my pick. I would want him now and future. I just think Barzal is going to be a lights out fantasy player when he does make it to the full time NHL. I think he might spend a little time in the AHL to begin the season, which I don't think is going to harm his potential. But yeah, as soon as Barzal's a full-time guy, he's going to stick and be an excellent fantasy contributor. So yeah, I'm with Barzal as well. And our Twitter poll is 55% Barzal. So we're on the higher end. This was our closest Twitter poll so far in the running, 55-45. So that's a tight matchup there, Peter.
Okay.
All right, let's go to our next one. Who would you rather, Peter? Oliver Bjorkstrand from the Columbus Blue Jackets or Kevin LeBanc from San Jose Sharks?
I saw Kevin LeBanc play in the OHL. He's very good, and he can score goals. I've seen more of him than Oliver Bjorkstrand, but I just think Bjorkstrand is more of a lock to make the Columbus roster. I'm not convinced LeBanc plays full time this season in San Jose. I believe he will play games for the Sharks, probably a fair share of them, but I think Bjorkstrand's a roster regular. So LeBanc may have more offensive upside, but I'm going to go with the games played advantage with Bjorkstrand for a 1 year league, and I'm going to take Bjork. Who you got?
I'm on the same end, and you kind of saw this coming because I've been pumping Bjorkstrand's tires for maybe 2 or 3 years, and it just hasn't panned out. And I think I said this last year, but I'm going to say it again. I think this is the year that Bjorkstrand shows us what he's made of, and I really hope he does. I've been a Oliver Bjorkstrand fan for quite some time, like I said, 2 or 3 years. So hopefully this is the year, and yeah, I'm on Oliver Bjorkstrand's side, obviously. Kevin LeBanc is going to be a great player, and yeah, he lit it up in the OHL when he was there. But I think the Blue Jackets need Bjorkstrand to step up, and he's gonna do it this year.
All right, that's no surprise. You're sticking with your guy. Let's do a couple more. You had on the Twitter poll, you had New York Islanders Josh Hosang and Washington Capitals Jakub Vrána. So you go first this time. Who do you pick here?
I really like Josh Hosang now. I think he's going to contribute this year, but in the long run, Vrana having great line mates in Backstrom and Ovechkin and Burakovsky and Kuznetsov. I just think the Washington lineup, yeah, it might change in the long run, but these guys are locked in for quite some time, and I think Vrana's gonna benefit from that in the long term. But if I was playing in a 1 year league and I had to take one of these guys probably in the very last round or second last round of a draft, I would probably look for Josh Hosang before Jakub Vrána.
Yeah, me too. I think Hosang is just more of a dynamic offensive player. He just loves to score goals, and that's always going to be his first order of business is creating offense, scoring goals, setting up plays, lighting the lamp. So that's all what fantasy hockey is all about. So Josh Hosang is my pick here as well. Let's do a couple Minnesota Wild players. Joel Eriksson-Ek and Luke Cunningham.
I think everybody, and I'm hopefully you as well, Joel Eriksson-Ek is the guy here. Luke Cunningham is going to be a decent NHL player, but fantasy-wise, Joel Eriksson-Ek nearly made the Wild last year out of training camp, and I believe he's going to make the team for sure out of training camp and thrive with the Wild this year. So I'm going Joel Eriksson-Ek.
Yeah, me too. This one wasn't even close.
Yeah, our Twitter poll, 81% to 19%. I think it's our biggest runaway winner, Joel Eriksson-Ek. So yeah, that makes sense.
All right, I'm going to hit you with two surprise questions that weren't on the Twitter poll that I'm just coming up with right now. You ready?
Oh man, yeah, I'm ready.
Out of the blue, Arizona Coyotes, Dylan Strome, Clayton Keller.
Ooh, those are good. I really like Clayton Keller. I think I have to go Clayton Keller. Dylan Strome. Yeah, I'm going Clayton Keller. I think he's just going to be dynamic. Yeah, Clayton Keller's my pick.
Yeah, me too. It's not even close.
Not even close. Wow.
No, I like Strome, but I'm fairly confident that Keller is going to play 82 games in the NHL, barring injury, in a top six role, probably with Max Domi. I'm just not convinced that Strome's not going to play a decent amount of games in the AHL this year. I think he would benefit from it tremendously. I think that's where he should play. Whether or not he does remains to be seen, but that's where I would probably play Strome based on the games that I saw him play last year. We should put that on our Twitter poll too and see what people have to say. So here's one more, another defenseman head to head, Thomas Chabot and Charlie McAvoy.
I'm not a big fan of Shabbat, and you're gonna yell at me like you always do when I turn away from Shabbat. I'm going Charlie McAvoy. I like McAvoy. I think he's got The Torrey Krug injury opens it up to him getting tons of ice time. Char is dealing with a neck injury I saw just this morning. I'm going Charlie McAvoy. He showed he's going to be a stud on the back end in the playoffs last year, which is an intense training for the NHL. And yeah, he didn't look out of place, so I'm going Charlie McAvoy.
I am too. And this one is similar to the first defenseman one. I think Shabbat might have more offensive upside long term, but I think McAvoy is going to have a better rookie year than Shabbat. He's just, Boston is so dependent on him because of the reasons you said. And even with the Carlson injury, I think Shabbat is still more insulated in Ottawa. If you look at their depth, I think it's a little bit better. And I think Carlson will be back pretty soon too. I'd be surprised if he missed more than a week's worth of games.
If there was no Erik Karlsson in Ottawa, so say like Thomas Chabot went somewhere else where he was going to be the stud power play quarterback within a year or two, would you be more on the Thomas Chabot side?
For fantasy hockey, yeah, I think he'll score more than Shabbat or than McAvoy.
Yeah, I think having Erik Karlsson as your teammate is gonna kind of hinder your point production just because. You might not play with them because you're both offensively gifted, so they might not want to put you with Erik Karlsson if you're Thomas Chabot, so they might be a separate pairing, so he's not going to benefit from Karlsson's point production. So yeah, I think that hinders him a little bit being on the same team as Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, there's a you could slice it the other side of the coin too, right? Where if they're not playing together, then obviously the team is going to focus their best defensive efforts against Carlson, leaving Shabbat with second tier defense. But then again, you flip it back the other way and you say, yeah, but that also means less offensive opportunity. So, anyways, I like them both. I don't think there's a wrong choice between pretty much any of these comparisons, but. It's a fun exercise. We've got to do it. If anyone out there is listening and has a would you rather that they want to throw at us, just tweet it at us. And you can either tweet it to the show, DPR underscore show. You can tweet it to me, Farling, Pharling. And you can tweet it at Paul, just at Zwambag.
That is correct. And yeah, I'm going to add those two last minute ones, Strome Keller and Shabbat McAvoy, right after we record this. So by the time you hear it, it will be up on DPR underscore show and with all the other ones. So make sure you vote. It'll be there till probably Thursday evening. Friday evening. That'll be when the poll closes. So you'll have lots of time to get on and make your votes. And yeah, it'll really benefit us and make us feel better if you're on our side. So we kind of had some differences and kind of had some sames. It not quite as bad as Schmaltz and Mott last year when we did the Who Would You Rather, but yeah, I think it was a good little exercise, Peter.
Yeah, and listeners, throw your would you rathers at us, and we'll answer it and retweet it for you.
Yeah, we might even have another segment of Who Would You Rather if we get enough of them. So yeah, definitely send them to us and we'll try and get them on the podcast. When we come back from the break, Peter, we're going to talk some Fantrax ADP, where we're going to get some of our rookie and prospect guys in the draft and where we think we should be getting them.
Hey everybody. Before we get into our next segment, it's Pete here. I just want to take a second to tell you about the Dauber Prospect Radio CHL Fantasy Hockey Patron League. Go to our patron page and sign up to become a patron in the $3 range, and you can play CHL Fantasy Hockey against Paul, myself, and our other patrons. The league starts September 21st, where you can pick any players you want from the OHL, the WHL, or the Q. You fill in the roster submission. You have 12 forwards, 6 defensemen, and 2 goalies. Skating scoring is 2 points for a goal, 1 point for an assist, and your goalies get 3 points for a win and 2 points for a shutout. Fill up a roster. You can pick up to 2 import players and 3 overage players, same as the CHL rules. The deadline to pick your team is September 30th, so you need to sign up and become a late-round sleeper patron member. Fill in the registration form, which essentially is your name and the players you want, and submit that to us by September 30th, and you're in the league. Compete in fantasy hockey. Prove that you know more about it than me and Paul do. Sign up today.
All right, we're back, and we're going to be looking at Fantrax ADP. I got the full list in front of me, Peter. I'm going to give you a prospect or a rookie, and you're going to tell me if you'd rather have him over the other positional guys that are near him, and see if we can climb him up the Fantrax ADP. I've been following the ADP pretty much every other day. I have an update on my Excel sheet that shows where they were. So from September 9th to September 25th, there's been quite a few big jumps, and I think one of the biggest ones are probably Charlie McAvoy, 175 to 142, definitely jumped up. I think that has a lot to do with Torrey Krug. So he's at 142 right now, going in the likes of Ivan Provorov, Matt Dumba, Brent Seabrook. Would you take McAvoy over those guys?
I'd take him over Dumba and Seabrook for sure. Provorov.
Or Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley's up a little higher at 137, so four spots earlier, Morgan Riley.
I'd probably go with the established commodities in this situation. I mean, I think you're pretty safe in forecasting what you think Provorov and Riley are going to score, right? Provorov did it last year. He had 30-some points in his rookie season with Philadelphia. Morgan Riley is pretty established in Toronto. Him and Gardner are their top offensive defensemen. And so he's an established commodity. I guess it would maybe come down to how many roster positions do I need to fill? Am I filling an active roster position? Then I probably go with the established guys. If I'm picking a bench guy, then maybe I'd swing for the fences and pick someone who I think might potentially have a higher ceiling and roll the dice with McAvoy. But I think for his rookie season, he's going to be more focused on just playing good hockey than creating offense. And I think Provorov and Riley are in a situation where they're like, okay, we've got the offensive component of our game down. We're NHL players. We're established. We're regulars on the roster. Let's try and contribute more. So that's where I am there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would definitely have Riley and Provorov above McAvoy. Dumba would be an interesting one. I think Dumba's got a lot of defense depth in Minnesota that he would have to fight with, where McAvoy doesn't really have that. Brent Seabrook, I think, is not really a fantasy commodity as much anymore, so McAvoy's definitely above that. And that's in the 13th round, so you're probably trying to fill out either your bench spots or maybe your third defense, fourth defense. If McAvoy's my fourth defense, I would like him here. If he's my third or second, I would lean towards the NHL guys. Definitely Provorov over McAvoy if he's going to be my number two in my lineup. Let's move down to the 14th round, where we see the one and only Vadim Shipachov. Not technically a rookie, but he is in the NHL. Not classified. He won't be winning the Calder Trophy, but it's his first year in the NHL. He came over from Europe, and he lit it up in the KHL. He's going around 150. With the likes of Max Domi, Matt Duchene, Nick Foligno are all above him. And then below him, Patrick Maroon, Kyle Okposo, and Patrick Marleau. Where do you think he lines up? Would you take him above all those guys or below all those guys?
I think he's going to get first-line center minutes with Vegas for sure. I'm just not convinced Vegas is going to score a lot this year. How old is he? He's 30-something, right?
He just turned 30, I believe. He's just 30 or 31.
And he's an unknown commodity, so I would probably be a little gun shy on him. Who are some of the names that he's ahead of?
He's ahead of Patrick Maroon, Kyle Okposo, Patrick Marleau, Andre Palat, Alexander Steen, all going in the 14th round.
Yeah, I'm okay with him being ahead of all of those guys. There's not a lot of players there that I think have the potential to have tremendous uptick in their production from last season. Maybe Andre Palat. And who are some of the guys he's behind? I'm not sure if I
Max
pick him
Domi,
ahead of
Max Domi, Matt Duchene, and Nick Foligno.
Maybe Nick Foligno. He had one really good season. Not Max Domi. I think he's going to play with... I really like the offensive output for Arizona this year. I think there's a lot of fantasy value with Coyotes. So I would probably say that Domi's got, 60-point potential at least. I'm not sure Shipachov has that. And Matt Duchene is a bit of a total wild card too.
Yeah, I want nothing of Matt Duchene.
I'd probably steer clear of that file too. I mean, if he gets buried in Colorado, he could just have a miserable pout fest of a season. He's been prone to really long cold streaks. But then again, if he gets traded to a team and explodes, he could be great. Yeah, he's a tough one.
Yeah, I think I would take the risk of Shipachov and be excited to see the expansion team maybe do well, and if Shipachov does well, then you do well in your fantasy. So getting him in the middle of the 14th round, I would be more than happy to get him there. In redraft leagues, he's going with the top draft eligible guys. In all of my prospect draft leagues, he's going with all the top draft eligible guys. So he's definitely going to be a fantasy commodity, and getting him in the 14th round around the likes of like a Patrick Maroon, who is only going to be good when he's on McDavid's wing, Kyle Okposo, who's kind of injury prone and who knows what you're going to get him. Patrick Marleau's maybe lost a step. He doesn't look like it in preseason, but I would take my chances with Shipachov over those three, Maroon, Okposo, and Marleau for sure.
All right, who's next on the list?
All right, round 13, the top of the 13th round, Nico Hischier gets picked. Our first 2017 draft player, going in the likes of Ryan Strome, Zach Parise, Charlie Coyle. Would you take Hischier over all three of those guys?
Yes.
All right, let's try and go up the list to David Krejci, Tyler Toffoli at 155.
I think I would.
Yeah. Okay, then we're getting up into Vadim Shipachov. Would you climb all the way and take it Nico Hischier over Shipachov and Domi, Duchesne, Foligno? Is he in that general area?
No, probably not.
All right, so you got to take him before the 155 round, 155 area. He's going 156. Tyler Toffoli and David Krejci are 155, so you got to take him before that.
Yeah, and a lot of this has to do with the Zajac injury. I think the door for the number one center position is open wide open, and he's looked pretty good in preseason. He scored some fancy goals. He's dynamic and dominant in junior, and at the World Juniors and at the top prospect game. He's risen to the occasion against the elitist level competition he's played against in his life. And playing in the NHL is going to be a monumental step for him, but he's solid defensively. He's good on draws. He's dynamic offensive. He's an explosive skater. I think he's got all of the tools to succeed in the NHL. The question is he physically and mentally mature enough to play at that level? Who knows? We'll find out in short order, though. So I think he should be. So I would take him ahead of a lot of the guys on that list.
Yeah, and he's climbing. September 9th, he was at 167. September 27th, he's 156. So he's slowly moving up draft boards, which is definitely because of the preseason showing of scoring pretty much every single game he's played in. Let's move down to the 170 range. Clayton Keller, that's where we see Mr. Clayton Keller going with Evgeny Dadonov right in behind him. Who would you rather have, Clayton Keller or Evgeny Dadonov?
Dadonov's got the opportunity to play with Barkov and Huberdeau, and that's pretty tempting. Keller in Arizona's got a lot of options too, but none of the players in Arizona outside of really Max Domi on the forward ranks are really established NHLers, and Domi's still pretty green. I mean, he's not a rookie anymore, but he's not a 10-year veteran or anything. I think I'd go with youthful exuberance in this one, and I'd go with Clayton Keller over Dadonov. I think you'll see a lot more highlight reel goals from Clayton Keller as well. Highlight reel plays. Dadonov will he'll chip in some offense, but I think Keller will be more of the highlight reel variety. And that's pretty fun when you're at the bar with your boys. And you're looking at the highlight reel on the TV, and there's your fantasy guy putting up highlight reel goals. That's fun to watch. So I'll go with Keller over Dadonov.
All right, and let's try and find a spot for him. Ahead of Braden Point and Gabriel Landeskog.
Landeskog, yes, because he does a lot of other things besides just pure offense. Braden Point's a tough one. He had a really good season last year with Tampa and carved himself out a roster spot. He's got some depth challenges with their roster. The triplets, Stamkos, guys like that, all ahead of him, taking up prime time minutes. It's a bit of a coin toss. I don't think there's a wrong choice there.
All right, how about the couple of Vegas Golden Knights, Marchessault and James Neal? Would you take Keller and Dadonov ahead of those guys? The Vegas Golden Knights, they're so interesting. I just can't pinpoint where these guys are going to go. You think they're going to put up, like, James Neal's going to put up Nashville numbers or Pittsburgh numbers, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to be a very high-scoring team.
Yeah, I probably try and avoid too many Vegas players. It'd be fun to have one because there'll be a lot of attention on them this season. And when you're watching the highlight reels, they'll give you updates on when Vegas plays on how they did because they're an expansion team and they've got those pretty new uniforms and everyone will want to know.
If
So it'll
you
be easy to
want
get.
one Vegas Golden Knight, you gotta go for Marc-Andre Fleury. Just take him. He's gonna be so much fun. He's always smiling. Marc-Andre Fleury is always fun to have in fantasy. I just, no matter what his numbers are, I like having Fleury on my team.
Sure, but he's got to win.
This is
I don't
true.
think
This is true.
they have a lot of wins. I mean, they can lose 82 games and and Shabachev can still have 50 points.
True. This is very true. You're making me not want to take Fleury, but I'm going to. We're in the Cupful this year with the Keeping Carlson guys, not in tier one or two. I'm drafting Fleury as one of our goalies. You have no say in the draft, Peter. Ha.
Then we might do well.
All right, let's move down to Nolan Patrick, 183. He's going in the likes of Andrei Burakovsky, Elias Lindholm. Do you think he falls into that grouping? Dylan Larkin's a little bit ahead of him, six spots earlier, 176. Nolan Patrick in a good spot there at 183.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, he's not even a lock to make the team, but and he's got better career upside than he does for his rookie season. 35 points, I think, is a pretty realistic point projection for him this year, maybe 40. Dylan Larkin isn't gonna be in tough. He was so hot to start, and but that's starting to be a long time ago now that he came into the league as a hot shot rookie. I mean, he just hasn't been able to carry that since halfway through his rookie season. It'd be nice to see him bounce back. I don't see a lot in Detroit that makes me think that's going to happen. Who are some of the other players?
Elias Lindholm, Carolina. Brendan Gallagher is below him. Victor Rask in Carolina is below him. Boone Jenner.
I'd probably take the Carolina guys ahead, maybe. I'm also not too keen on Montreal. I don't think they're going to score a lot of goals this year. Yeah, I'd say Keisher ahead of, or sorry,
Patrick.
Patrick ahead of some of those guys, but I think Carolina might be able to score a lot of goals this year, so I might be a little bit more keen on some of the Canes.
All right, would it intrigue you if you knew that Giroux's going to play left wing, they moved him to the wing, and they have Couturier playing C1 and Nolan Patrick playing C2 throughout the preseason? Would that be a little bit exciting that it might be a Nolan Patrick playing second line?
I wouldn't put any stock into that. Preseason, they do a whole bunch of line
Crazy
juggling
things.
and experimenting, and when the games matter, they'll set their rosters right.
All right, let's do a goaltender. UC Saros, playing behind Pekka Rinne, thought he would take the net through the playoffs, but Pekka Rinne kind of stood on his head. Pekka Rinne's been shaky through the regular season. UC Saros is going 196, some goalies around him, Jacob Markstrom and Michael Nyvrth. Would you take Saros over Markstrom or Nyvrth? Over, yeah, you'd take him over Markstrom, the guy that's going to be the starter for his team.
He's going to be the starting goalie for Vancouver, the team that's projected to be the worst in the NHL, with the exception of maybe Vegas. So I'm not going to see a lot of wins from him. And Florida tried to make him the starter, and it didn't work out. he split time last year in Vancouver, but you know, he never really played consistently and well and long enough for me to really think, okay, he's a legit bona fide number one starting goalie without question. Yeah, he's a starting goalie, but is that by default?
True.
In Vancouver? And Jussi Saros, I think, he's primed to take over for Pekka Rinne. I thought it might happen last season. I have more confidence in Pekka Rinne faltering than I do in Jacob Markstrom succeeding. So I go with Jussi Saros.
Okay, let's go through a couple of the backups that are going in the vicinity. So Jussi Saros, again, is at 196. You got to jump all the way up to 178 with Philip Grubauer, Ryan Miller backup, Yaroslav Halak a backup, Peter Mrazek maybe a backup. Peter Mrazek would be a good comparison. Saros or Peter Mrazek?
Saros, better team.
All right, and then some of the other guys. Philip Grubauer, would you take Saros or Grubauer?
Saros.
Ryan Miller.
Saros.
James Reimer.
Saros. Right, I take Saros over just about any backup in the NHL because I think if one of the two is going to play full time, I'll take the guy that has the better opportunity, and that's Jussi Saros. I think he's more likely to usurp Pekka Rinne. I think Nashville is a strong team. They'll get a lot of wins. There's a lot to like about Jussi Saros.
All right, so Saros going at 196 could be a great steal way down there because there's a lot of other goalies going off the board. So when you see a bunch of the still some starters going off the board, put Jussi Saros in your watch list, your queue, and just wait around on him because he's not going to 196. So you could probably get him at like 190 and not have to reach too far up. And yeah, Jacob Markstrom right at the 190 ADP. So as soon as Markstrom goes, be like, hi. Loser, take the Jussi Saros and laugh at the guy that ended up with Markstrom and didn't grab Saros. That's a great move. And yeah, I have Saros on one of my dynasty teams, and I'm so excited that he might usurp Pekka Rinne. And I thought it was going to happen last year, and I wish it did this year, or I'm wishing it does this year because he's my number two, which is a little scary. But yeah, I'm waiting for Jussi Saros to blow up and take over the Nashville Predator net because the Predators are going to be good for quite some time. Move on to another Calder candidate. He's kind of had a good preseason, so his ADP has jumped up from 289 to 196, right in the same range as Jussi Saros. Brock Besser with the Vancouver Canucks. Do you think this guy's playing the full year? And would you take him over a Jussi Saros? I guess it would depend on what your roster looked like, but some of the players he's going around, Mikko Rantanen, Artem Anisimov, I think I would want Brock Besser. I think this is a great spot for Brock Besser. I think getting him at 196 is a really good move.
I think that would be good value. I think he's going to play full-time in the NHL, very least in a top six role, if not on the first line in Vancouver.
Yeah, and yeah, that would be awesome. Vancouver's not going to be great, but getting first-line minutes and power play one time would be awesome. And he showed he can do it in the preseason. That we talked about it last week. The shot he has is just incredible. And fantasy goals are highly wanted on most teams. So Brock Besser is going to be putting the puck in the net quite a bit this year.
Yep, that's what he does.
A couple of funny notes. Running through the ADP, I took the guys that moved the most. First off, the funny one, and then the really weird one I want to ask you about. So, a funny ADP, Kevin Ekman-Larsson on September 9th, his ADP was 291.5. Yes, Peter, I said Kevin Ekman-Larsson, who also plays in Arizona, supposedly for Fantrax. I think this is a joke to them. Have you heard of Kevin Ekman-Larsson?
I have. Yeah, he's been reassigned to the AHL.
So September 9th, he was 291.5. So he was being drafted in regular leagues. Robbie Fabry, in the news right now for being out the rest of the season, was going one spot after him on September 9th. So people were taking Kevin Ekman-Larsson, 291. He has now dropped to 461. So I think people have realized that Kevin Ekman-Larsson is not the Oliver Ekman-Larsson. You are not getting a deal getting an Ekman-Larsson at 291. I just thought that was kind of funny that I picked up on that, and I find it very, it's a funny little quirk with Fantraxa, Ekman-Larsson in Arizona. Everybody thought they were getting a deal, and they don't. Maybe I'm the only one, Peter. Apologies.
Accidental.
The other one I want to mention, the biggest drop after Kevin Ekman-Larsson from September 9th to September 27th, Will Butcher. He went from 390, now he's into the 540s. What's that all about? Why is Will Butcher falling immensely?
I don't know. That should be the reverse.
The big time. Like he should 541 is or 545 is way too low for Will Butcher. He should be in most fantasy hockey leagues.
Yeah, I was listening to XM Radio today, and our buddy Russ Cullen was on, and they were talking to him about the Metro Division, and New Jersey came up, and he was one of the players that has been impressive for us in the games that he's been able to see. That's his backyard. He's saying that, Butcher's known as an offensive defenseman, but he's been playing very well defensively, and he's a rookie, he's a kid, but he's not coming into the league out of junior at 19 years old. He's played 4 years of college. He's 21 or 22 years old, so he's mature. He's a man, and he should that those ADPs should be reversed. He should be getting drafted higher and higher.
Yeah, he's only 50% owned in Fantrax. So seeing like the Clayton Kellers and the Charlie McAvoys way up in the 80, high 80s and 90s, and Will Butcher's way down there. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. So Will Butcher is definitely a get in a lot of leagues. He's going to be getting a lot of playing time in New Jersey. They don't have much else there. Damon Severson just signed a 6-year contract, but or 5-year contract, one of the two. But I don't think he's going to be fighting too hard to get ice time. So Will Butcher, definitely ADP's got to go much higher up, say 300s or 200s, and where the rest of these guys we talked about, and his ownership needs to climb big time.
It must be that they listened to you a couple episodes ago when you pointed out that his
Salary,
AAV
yeah,
stuff
his AAV, yeah, you're right.
3 million or something, and his actual cap hit is a lot lower. But a lot of leagues use the AAV. That's the same cap hit that the NHL uses. So maybe that explains why.
Maybe. If you do have any other questions about ADP and where you think they're rising or falling, I haven't found a lot of places that track ADP daily or every other day, and where you can see guys that have really fallen over the past week or two. Send me a tweet and find out. I have a full Excel sheet that scrubs off of the Fantrax site pretty much daily. Maybe if I miss a day, then it's every other day, and I can see their ADP change daily, weekly, and now almost 2 weeks ago. So yeah, if you got any questions about guys then you want to see that are climbing like a Will Butcher that is just doesn't make sense, send me a tweet and I'll fire it off to you right away. A couple of guys that we did mention, Kyle Connor, 438. That's a little high as well. Joel Eriksson-Ek, another guy that we mentioned in the Who Would You Rather. They're far too high as well. They need to come down big time. The ADP is kind of a weird one. I know a lot of people do try to draft with the ADP as their rankings, which you should not do because it is not adjusted very well whatsoever.
Yeah, it's, I saw you listed Tyson Yost at 488th as an average draft position. That is ridiculous. He could be, if the trade Matt Duchene, he's going to be their second line center, getting all kinds of offensive minutes, and he's such a tremendously skilled player. He's a core piece for that team. He'll be there full time this year, playing in top minutes, regardless if they trade Duchene or not. So he should be drafted a lot higher than 488th.
Yeah, I think that the Colorado Avalanche are going to be terrible, but they still got to score some goals, and the little amount of goals they do score, the little amount of players that are going to be doing the scoring. So, yeah, they might be the lowest scoring team in the league, but they only have three or four guys contributing to those low scoring totals. So, Jost is going to be one of those three or four guys on the team that are contributing to the goal scoring. So, Jost is still a good fantasy own, even though he's on the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I'm not sure Colorado's problem is going to be putting pucks in the net. It's going to be keeping it out of their own. It's going to cause them problems. I mean, their defense is is the worst in the NHL. But you know, when you've got Duchesne and Landeskog and Jost and Nathan MacKinnon, yeah, scoring goals, you know, won't be easy, but it won't be their biggest problem. Winning will be, and you know, wins isn't a fantasy category for centers, so I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, stay away from Semyon Varlamov. All right, Peter, that's it for Fantrax ADP. When we come back from the break, we're going to catch up with Shane Malloy talking some of the prospects we wanted to get a little information on, like Matthew Barzal, you said earlier, and we're also going to talk about the All-American Prospects game.
Back, it's Diver Prospects Radio, and it's time to get on our guest. We're going to be talking to Shane Malloy from Hockey Prospect Radio. Shane, welcome back to the podcast. It's great to have you on, man. How you doing?
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's my pleasure. Things are great. Just getting ready to head off to the USHL Fall Classic in about 24 hours.
We should have had you on next week. We could have talked about that. But we got a full slate of questions. Awesome. We got a full slate of questions to talk to you about as it is already, so I think we're going to be okay. Last week we had the we want to start with the All-American Top Prospect game. This is a prospect showcase that's I don't know if it's getting more popularity in the scouting community, but it certainly is in the blogging community, and it's something that's relatively new to me. I found out about it a year or two ago. So I think that's very interesting, and it's a testament to how hockey is growing in the United States at a grassroots level, and we're seeing a lot of prominent American prospects entering the draft, and there's a lot of guys that were in this game that I wanted to talk to you about and get your thoughts on, and I think the place we have to start is Brady Tkachuk. He's getting some top three, maybe even, you know, it's a long season, but some people are saying it's not out of the realm of possibility that he moves into the top 1-2 position with the Svechnikov and Dahlin conversation. For anyone who hasn't heard about Brady Tkachuk, I mean everyone heard that he's a chip off the old block, just like his brother, just like his old man. What's your thoughts on Tkachuk?
Well, you know, he has a different mentality. It's actually, he's a bit of a throwback is the best way for me to say it, in the fact that he's a prototypical power forward, which is unusual in today's NHL. There are a few, but there's not many, which makes him a rarity, which makes him also, you know, a high sought after asset. If you can get a player like that who not only can take hits, but actually initiates contact, he's very similar to like a fullback in football or a middle linebacker where they go after the hit first. And that's, creates a whole different number of dynamics on the ice, which makes him far more valuable. So I'm really curious to see how he continues to develop. But, you know, that part of his game is mental, and it's part of his personality. So, and those type of players, you know, they're hard to find. Like guys who are just, he's simply not afraid at all. There's no hesitancy in his game in terms of the physical game, which, you know, you find really intriguing. So I'm curious to see how he continues to develop, but it's one of the interesting things that his game isn't power forward or skill. Like he's lucky enough to have that, you know, that's obvious from partially genetics, but mostly from work ethic and working on skill. He has the power forward and skill combined. You know, it's almost sky's the limit of what his potential could be, but we can't throw those type of expectations on him because it's unrealistic. He's a 17-year-old kid. He's lots of growing, lots of development. So we'll see how this season goes. And from there, could he upseed somebody? I don't think he's going to upseed Dallin at number one. Could he take out Svechnikov? Maybe. I don't know if you guys ever seen Svechnikov live. He's an incredible talent. big, strong, fast skin. So we'll see. But Brady Tkachuk is certainly a fun guy to watch. And I think he's going to make a lot of people jump up and take notice who haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, and he had a goal and an assist in the prospect game, the game-winning goal for Team Leech, and he led his team with 5 shots on goal. On the other side, Team Chelios, Oliver Wahlstrom led his team with 6 shots on goal and put 1 past the goaltender. Can you give us a little more information on Oliver Wahlstrom?
Well, what I like about him is that he's one of those players that can do everything exceptionally well. So he's just not a sniper. He's just not a playmaker. He has some strength and power in his game and is willing to play in the dirty areas, but he can make passes, make plays, and is conscientious defensively. And for a player of that age, that says something about him. He also has some versatility. So he can play on the right wing and he can play center. And he's already 6 foot and 205 pounds already. I don't know if they feed these kids, but you know, we weren't even remotely close to that size at that age. And this is a kid, he's so well-rounded that it's not a shock that this is a kid who goes somewhere, you know, in that 5 to 7 to 8 to 9 range. Because he's a guy who I think could be a very coveted player at the NHL level. So, but also, once again, he's still a kid and there's lots of development time. I know, you know, when I first started covering prospects, which was in 2000, no one cared about prospects. Like, nobody. I was like one of the lone wolves, like lone voices in the wilderness yelling, please pay attention. And now it's got to the point where it's swung so far the other way that even the kids that are drafted in the first round, there's so much hype around them that it's actually gone, I think it's gone a little bit too far. Where you just got to like calm down and relax and remember they're 17, 18-year-old kids. And the majority of them, and that's a vast majority, 95% of these kids that are drafted, are going to take 3, most likely 4 to 5 years before they make the NHL. That doesn't mean they're going to contribute consistently in every area. They're just going to make it and be able to play every night. So I always like to have some tempered like enthusiasm when it comes to these kids. I know, like, don't get me wrong, I appreciate the content. I appreciate people like paying attention to prospects. I remember when no one didn't. Like when Russ and I started Hockey Prospect Radio, this is our 13th year, 12 years ago, like we were an anomaly. Like people thought we were crazy to start a prospect radio show because no one's going to pay attention. It won't last. But it has lasted, thankfully, because people actually pay attention. But calm down, people. As Bob McKenzie mentioned about preseason in the NHL, calm the F down. It's just preseason. I say the same thing about prospects. Just relax. Don't get me wrong, I love the development process, but sometimes it gets a little carried away.
Yeah, we'll touch on that a little bit, but I'm not finished with the top prospect game players yet. So this draft that's coming up, it's pretty heavy on defense and quality defense. And there's 2 American defensemen in particular that are getting a lot of buzz. That's Quinn Hughes and Bode Wild. How did their game look at the top prospect game, and how do you think these guys are going to translate into fantasy hockey?
Well, in terms of the game itself, neither one of them put up any points, but that doesn't, you know, take away from anything they did in the game. Like, I mean, Quinn has that ability to take he's a puck rusher. There's not many puck rushers not only in the NHL but in the game itself. He has the ability to take the puck and actually drive the play himself. And be like a sentiment, so he's a distributor. That like he has that capability of skating up the ice, knowing where everybody is, and making those plays. And that causes a lot of mismatches, especially coming through the neutral zone. So that and his first pass and his mobility is excellent. So he's a guy who has a tremendous amount of potential. You know, and Bodie's another guy who is not as flashy, obviously, but has the capability of making really smart first passes and can make those transition plays as well. He's not going to rush the puck like Quinn does, but he's another guy who I would project has the potential to project into, you know, a top 4 D-man in the NHL and be a really solid contributor. So both of them have a tremendous amount of potential. And in terms of fantasy hockey, really, that's a difficult thing that you guys have to go through is not everybody's pool is the same, and like point, how you contribute, how you get points in every pool is a little bit different. So, but from my perspective, you never have enough defensemen who can move the puck and contribute offensively. And to me, offensive defensemen are a rarity. So that's when you start end up taking guys like Quinn Hughes, maybe higher than you would other guys, because how many offensive defensemen are actually out there, not only in, you know, the prospect world, but in the NHL itself.
All right. And one more guy that we want to touch base on, Joel Farabee. He played with Oliver Wahlstrom in the game and assisted on his, on Oliver Wahlstrom's goal. Joel Farabee, is he a first rounder, or do you think he's a little lower?
Oh no, this is a player who projected to be top 10 in the NHL. The NHL draft and could be fighting for, I wouldn't be shocked if he's a fifth overall. Like, this is a kid, like, goal scoring is a premium in the NHL, and this kid can score goals. And not just, like, the pretty goals, but he can score goals off the cycle. He can score goals down low, not afraid to go into the dirty areas, can make plays in traffic, can make plays at speed, can snipe shots and pick his spots as well, is deadly on the power play. And, you know, he needs to get a little bit stronger. But that's not a big deal. He's 17 years of age, but he's pretty skinny at about 165. Like, that'll come in time. Not worried about that. But you can't – his hockey sense, his puck skills, his shooting ability, and his willingness to actually play defensively, you know, it's going to lend itself to be a really good NHL player and a guy that you should – if you're looking for goal scoring in your fantasy hockey and you're getting into the draft, he's a guy you should probably take a long, hard look at if you're picking up high. Because he'll get chosen high.
Nice. When we do our fantasy ranking consensus article, I'm sure he'll be near the top. Okay, so let's shift focus. The season is brand shiny new for the prospect scouting anyways. The NHL hasn't started, but the CHL is underway. You and I have both managed to get to a game or two. I asked you just before we started recording if you saw Halifax, because that's a team that is loaded with high-end draft prospects. They have Philip Zadina, Jared Mikhaizek, Benoit Olivier Giroux, and they just got back Fortier, who's not draft eligible, but an exciting player to watch nonetheless. I'm really hoping that I'm able to see Halifax live game this year, maybe when they come through Gatineau. Do you have any thoughts on any of these players? I know it's early, but anything preliminary, players that would stand out for fantasy rankings, perhaps?
Well, I saw them last year, obviously, in some international tournaments. And but Zadina is one of those players who is highly skilled, a guy who has the ability to control the puck, and he's a puck possession forward. And he can play on both sides, left of the wing. But he's one of those guys who loves to have the puck on his stick, can make plays at speed, and make plays, you know, and hit guys at speed. I mean, there's some guys who can only pass stationary. He can pass while he's moving, and he can pass to guys who are moving. And that is, you know, like you think, oh, yeah, well, guys do that in the NHL. But when you get down to the prospect level, it becomes a lot more rare. He's deadly on the power play, and can score goals. The only thing about this game that obviously needs maturation is defensive game. I saw some things, and it was only one game. Saw some habits that I wasn't really keen on, but I don't, you know, it's just one game. And he is adjusting to North American ice, and that has some issues in it, you know, for European players. But overall, exceptionally skilled, should be somewhere in that top eight, unless the wheels fall off, but incredibly skilled. And then, unfortunately, Jared Mikhaizek was hurt in the first period, so I only got to see him about five or six shifts before he came off the ice. I was told it wasn't anything serious, but, you know, he's a guy who has some similarities. I don't like to always compare players, but has some similarities to a Wade Redden, where he's, like, smart puck moving, like, defensively is in the right position, good defensive habits of hand, you know, his head on a swivel, active stick, keeps his feet moving, good body position. He's one of those guys who, you know, he's another guy who will be in that probably top 15 easily of this draft, unless, you know, something happens in terms of long-term injuries or, you know, game falls apart, which is highly unlikely, but, you know, very sought after defenseman. And then, you know, at the end, like the last player, you know, Benoit Olivier Giroud, what I like about him, he's that real heavy player, a guy who, like, he's going to be good on the cycle at the NHL level, which is critical because most of the plays are made off the cycle. And he's a guy who loves to go in and get the puck, goes to the front of the net, you know, has player defenders converge to him, creates time and space, but can make plays in traffic, which is really important. Gets his shot off quickly, real greasy player. Like a guy that you get into the playoffs, that's a guy that you're going to want because he plays a real heavy game. Like all three of us have seen it in the NHL playoffs or even CHL, AHL playoffs, that game just becomes tougher and meaner. And the guys that are willing to pay the price and go to those areas to get the puck and take hits to make plays are valuable. So I would suspect that Benoit Olivier Giroux is going to be in the first round as well. So it's actually a pretty good year for the Q this year, which is nice because there are years when it can be pretty lean out here.
All right, let's shift focus and talk a little bit more contemporary fantasy hockey. And there's a whole bunch of players that are graduating out of junior and I think are on the cusp of playing in the NHL or they won't be banished to junior, but they might have to start in the AHL. And as you and I have talked about and said on the show last year, like there's nothing wrong with players going from junior to the AHL. But people who have been owning these guys for a year or two on their fantasy rosters and tucking them away in their prospect bench are pretty anxious for them to start cashing in on. So the first player, one of our show favorites, we talk about him at nauseam, but I want to get your opinion on him. You saw him at Traverse City. Alex DeBrincat, Chicago Blackhawks, does he have a chance to make the team?
Certainly he has a chance. The thing about Chicago, though, and being coached by Joe Quenneville, is you have to earn it. And you have to be able to contribute on both sides of the ice. He doesn't have to be perfect defensively, but he can't be a liability. He can't. So for him, you know, very similar to a player that was traded away in Panarin, is that puck possession, darting type player who can jump on loose pucks, who can find seams really quickly. One of the things he does exceptionally well that I really like is he adjusts his body and presents the stick really well to the passer. So he sees the plays develop, and a lot of guys will just follow the play, but don't understand that the angles change as the player with the puck is moving. So he does a really good job adjusting to that. That's going to make a big difference at the pro level. For me, it's a matter of how quickly he adjusts to the pace of the game. And it's going to be the 5-on-5 in the neutral zone. Like, as long as he can be average defensively through the neutral zone, especially on the road, that's the killer. Like, at home, at least he can get matchups. But on the road, you know, trying to contribute against second-pairing D-men, these are excellent defensemen. It's hard to produce against them. So, you know, 5-on-5 production is something that I'll be looking to see if that is something that he can handle. Obviously, he's a guy who can produce on the power play. I don't have any worries about that. But there's some other aspects of his game he might not be ready for. And, you know, like you said, I think it's important for players to go play in the American League for a minimum a year. If not two, I'm conservative when it comes to prospects. So unless you come out and you absolutely come out and steal a position on the roster, you should go to the American League for minimum a year.
It's interesting that you throw out some similarities to Artemi Panarin, and that's where they have him right now, is filling in that Panarin spot beside Patrick Kane in the preseason. So they're maybe testing to see if he can keep up with Patrick Kane and if Patrick Kane likes him as a line mate, and if he can stick there, that would be just incredible for Alex DeBrincat owners. But another guy I would really like your opinion on is Matthew Barzal in New York Islanders. Is he going to make the team out of camp?
You know, honestly, he may have to, although I wouldn't want him to for his development. I think it'd be great for him to play an entire year in the American League and be the man. Like, it's really important for development. If you look at a guy like Evgeny Shatnikov in Detroit, he had a very good, if not excellent, rookie season in the American League. But I like to see a guy come in the American League and be the man. Like, he'll be the first guy on the ice. He's out in all the important situations. Top power play, will kill some penalties. That's what I want Barzal, for him to happen in the American League. But the way the lineup is on the island, he may have to come in and be that third line center. You know, he might have to do that. And the dangerous thing is, I think a lot of people think, from my opinion, I think playing center as a rookie is way more difficult than playing defensive role. And the difficulty is how to defend in the neutral zone on the road. So there's going to be times where he's going to have to defend a second-line center in the NHL, a veteran, and then even sometimes, maybe in the second period, when you have that long change, he get caught out against, like, a first-line. So can you imagine, like, he has to defend a first-line center on the road in the Eastern Conference? How is that going to work out defensively? I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying that there is a likelihood of some stumbles and some fumbles along the way because we forget how young they are. And then also we forget how good the NHL is. I think sometimes as prospects, you can get a little mesmerized by all the skill that they do against their peer group, and we forget how great the players are in the NHL level. Even a third-line center, how good they are. That, you know, you stick a Barzell in those situations, and they can fail. So, yeah, I think he's probably going to have to play on the island because I just don't think they have the depth. Should he be there? That remains to be seen. You know, we're going to see through the first 20 games whether he has some big learning curve or he has some growing pains through that process.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying about a year in the American League. You come out of junior and you're confident. You're the man in junior. And you think you can play in the NHL. If you go to the AHL and you play a full year playing pro hockey against guys that have been in the league and are pros and are men and are full size and strong and dominate there, then you know you can play in the NHL. And that's just, there's a huge distinction there for your confidence between those two mentality sets. So I hear what you're saying and I agree, but as a fantasy owner of some of these players, I sometimes just want them to jump right in. So another player that's getting a lot of talk, Thomas Chabot. So there's the Erik Karlsson ankle injury. He might miss some time at the start of the season, and people are wondering if he's out for any number of games, who's going to drive the offense from the defense from the Sens? And a lot of people, or myself included, are looking at Thomas Chabot to be that guy as a rookie. Does he have that upside right out of the gate? Does he even make the team? Could he go to the AHL as well?
Oh, no, I think he'll be in the American. He'll be in the NHL. Like I would always rather have them go back. But you take a look at that lineup, and because of if Karlsson wasn't hurt, and you have Karlsson, Fanuf, CeCe, Odulia, Borowicki, you know, in that mix, then, you know, maybe he comes in and he's at number six and you can platoon him in and out. Or he plays a bunch of games in the American League and he comes back. But I think in this situation, he's going to play in the NHL the entire season. I think once he's established, he's in there. But he has excellent poise. I know everybody got goo-goo gaga over him at the World Juniors because he played 27 minutes and was on, you know, 30 minutes in every situation. Look, I watched him play a lot in St. John last year and the year before. He's got the poise. He's got the hockey sense, his skating ability. His defensive habits are very good for his age, very good to excellent. But the NHL is a whole different animal. And I think if they match him with somebody who's going to be able to insulate him a little bit as he goes through his learning curve, I think he'll be okay. But of all the players, I think it's like Chabot will be one player that should play. And then, you know, other than that, Joel Eriksson-Ek in Minnesota is a guy that I think who can make the jump. And then Hayden Fleury out of Carolina is another guy I think can make the jump. That can and will be able to play and not have any issue. Everybody else may have bumps in the road, but may get thrown to the fire because the teams that own them don't have they have a choice, but they make some choices to unfortunately stick a player in a situation when they probably shouldn't be in.
Hayden Fleury's an interesting one. We don't really talk about him too much on this podcast, and maybe that's just because we're more leaning on Calder favorites. And is Charlie McAvoy one of your Calder favorites, and is he going to get a boost with the Torrey Krug injury?
Oh, certainly in playing time, absolutely. I don't think Boston's going to have much of a choice but to give him more ice time. Is he a Calder favorite? Yeah, sure. He's got to be in the mix at the end of the year. I get the vote. So I don't even think about those things until I get to, you know, near the end of the year and I start looking at the totality of the season. because I don't like going into seasons with biases. Like, every person has a bias. You can't get away from it. It's part of the human condition, but I try to control it the best I can and know what I have. So I just don't put labels on players in the beginning of the season, and then just let things play out, and it happens what happens. Because otherwise, you know, you can miss out on players. If you have a preconceived notion of who's going to already be there, well, what about the other players that come, like, racing up behind? Here's a perfect example. The draft year with Jonathan Huberto ends up being third overall. I can tell you with 100% certainty, no one even had him close to that at the beginning of the year. But he had a monster year and moved his way up. So those things happen. Did anybody project that, you know, Werenski was going to have the year he was going to have and come in and be the best defenseman? No, but he did. So it's always a good lesson. And every once in a while, you know, your biases can get the better of you. You get slapped in the head pretty hard, and it wakes you up, and you realize, oh, yeah, you know, you got to be patient and let it all play out. But McAvoy, excellent player, should have lots of opportunity in Boston this year.
All right, Shane, wrap it up with one last question. So last year you came on, it was episode 4, I believe, and we talked a little bit about scouting. So the people who listen to this podcast are obviously into hockey prospects. They probably watch their local junior team or college team or maybe AHL, and they're clearly into fantasy hockey as well. So they're probably watching hockey games and amateur scouting, if you will, for their fantasy team and looking at players and thinking, oh man, that's someone I want to own in my fantasy team. With that in mind, what's one tip you would give, you know, the casual prospect watcher? What's one tip you would give them on what to look for in a player when trying to decide if you want to draft them for your fantasy team?
Context is huge. Like, I know a lot of players will put up a lot of points, but where they put up points, when they put up points, and who they put them against really matters. 5-on-5 production is really important. So look for the players, whether they're in junior, college, or in the AHL. It's the players that can produce 5-on-5 on the road in back-to-back nights and 3-and-4 nights when they're tired and they're out of gas. It's the guys who can produce in those situations against, like, the best defensive pairs that are always against them and the best lines that can defend against them. If you can find guys that can produce in those situations, that's going to give you the best chance. It's not a guarantee, but those players are more likely to get through junior, get through the American League, and eventually make it into the NHL, because we all know how quickly that talent pool compresses. So for my money and for fantasy hockey, those are the guys I hunt for.
Awesome. You can catch Shane Malloy every weekend on Hockey Prospect Radio. It's on the TSN radio network across Canada. It's also on Sirius XM satellite radio Saturday mornings. Is it 10 o'clock now, Shane?
It is 9 to 11, and on Sundays it's 8 to 10.
There you go. And follow Shane on Twitter at Shane Malloy. And if you really enjoyed listening to Shane talk and you enjoy his podcast or radio show, I highly recommend picking up his book, The Art of Scouting. It's kind of the Bible for anyone who's interested in talent analysis in hockey and just learning more about the fraternity of scouting. It's a page turner, and I couldn't put it down. So thanks for coming on, Shane. Really appreciate you joining the podcast. And like you say on your show, we'll see you in the rink, pal.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It was my pleasure, and I'll see you guys down the road.
All right, thanks, Shane, for joining us again in the second season of Dauber Prospects Radio. Shane can be found on Twitter at Shane Malloy. And again, you can listen to his radio show, Hockey Prospect Radio, on Sirius XM, NHL Network Radio, and TSN Radio Networks. There is a link in our show notes on dauberprospects.com where you can get Shane's book, The Art of Scouting. It is a must-read if you're into watching prospect hockey. We also want to thank you, the listener, for continuing to support the DPR show. If you haven't yet but want to support Dauber Prospects Radio, you can head to patreon.com/DPR show and become a DPR patron by becoming a draft eligible, a late round sleeper, a first rounder, a scout, or even a corporate sponsor. To get into the CHL fantasy pool and compete against myself and Peter, you will need to become a late round sleeper, only $3 a month. Head over to patreon.com/DPR show. All the details for the DPR Fantasy League are there for you to see. Deadline to submit your lineups is September 30th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Go have a look. That's patreon.com/DPR show. please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. You can also follow our personal accounts at Zwambag, Zwambag, and Peter at PHARLING, PHARLING. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.